Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 188. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Ira Kaplan.
Yes, sir. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. This show is at Lost in America Pod on Instagram. On the show today, we have the great Mike Cannon, stand-up comedian Mike Cannon, straight out of New York City. I wanted to have him on today because he recently did, first of all, Cap, I'm going back to New York in by next week, I will be doing this in Brooklyn, New York. Now, Mike Cannon, he's already there. I think he's been near there the whole time, but he's now out doing comedy shows. And I want to know what my future's like. I want to know what happens when I get back to New York City next week. Are these outdoor shows? Are these standing in a park? Am I busking? Am I in a subway? That probably sounds like a bad idea. There's probably more coronavirus there than in a comedy club. But he did a show, Cap. He was on a stage in a parking lot with everyone inside their car. Now, Mike Cannon's a stand-up comic at the Comedy Cellar in New York City. Yeah, he tours the United States. Yeah, so he's like he's a headlining comedian. He just put out a special called Life Begins on YouTube that you can go check out now, and about having a kid, actually. But I want to find out what that's like. Now, I believe this parking lot was right next to where you live.
It's not. Yeah, it's in Queens. It's an area it's a place we go to a lot. It's in the parking lot of a diner. I've seen the whole setup because we were there recently, and I didn't know it was for comedy, but I saw the whole setup. I thought there was an event going on or a concert or something.
Yeah. So we're gonna find out. Are those good? Are those bad?
Yeah.
Before all that, Cap, we have our YouTube page. We're now putting video from every episode. Just the interview section of every episode is going on our YouTube page, Lost in America, over there. You can check out the Mike Cannon one now. You can check out last week with James Madden. But you said we got commenters?
Yeah, you know, you got to mention we're in Lost in America. Subscribe so you get them immediately. And I'm just looking here, like, because I've got nothing to do, and I'm looking at all the comments. And I thought there was I wanted to give a shout out, you know, to a D Plumber. He gave us his comment, and he said, on the Ari Shaffir episode, he said, "It's cool how you are both in a kid's bedroom."
Yes.
Because I was in Ruby's bedroom that episode, if you remember, and the only time I ever recorded there.
And is that I don't know if that's a compliment. Did you say that was
So I wrote, "Glad you appreciate that I'm a father who can't afford an apartment with an office."
That sounds like an attack from D Plumber.
Yeah, well, he wrote back. So he said he thought it was cool and he stands by it. He likes the realness of it. And then he wrote, "I wasn't trying to offend. I even edited it from being gender specific to not for that reason." So I wasn't offended. He thought it was cool. You know, I live in New York City. We need Patreon subscribers. I can't afford an office, so I'm authentic.
Kaplan. Let me give you some advice. This is 2020. When in doubt, be offended.
Oh, I'm supposed to be offended? I don't like to make our fans enemies.
Well, it sounds like an attack. D Plumber, I don't know if he is a fan. Maybe he's an Ari Shaffir fan. He watched us because of that, and now he's coming after us. This sounds also probably you shouldn't be watching. It sounds like he was surprised that you
is
were
it not normal to comment as actual podcast host on your own comments?
I don't think professionals do that. No,
I kind of reveal myself.
One sign that we're amateurs is that you're going around responding to people on YouTube.
I'm a guy who records out of my daughter's bedroom. So what do you expect? That's what you get. It's the whole package.
It's the whole package.
When I get my own office, then I'll stop replying to comments. But I'm a man of the people. You comment, you're going to get something back from me. If you come at me or Turner, If you insult us, I mean, Turner's on the lam. Where is he supposed to where is he supposed to record? So.
Well, you can you have to defend me. I'm too highbrow. I'm too big time to comment on these things.
I'm the muscle here.
You're the muscle. So that's it. Cap, did you want? Okay, Mike's going to be in here in a minute, but I want to talk about Hamilton.
Yeah, it's going. It's a 4th of July tradition like no other.
Hamilton for the people, right?
Well, it's like the way you watch 10 Commandments on. Is it Christmas or Easter? You watch 10 Commandments, Easter, I think.
I like how you assume Christians do these things.
That's what you do. It's on TV, or you watch It's a Wonderful Life. Hamilton is the 4th of July version of that on Disney Plus.
Oh, God help us if that's the case. My God. First of all, it is interesting that this is a play for the people that costs $2,000 or more to go see in New York City. And so it is
past
nice.
Past tense. Broadway's over. You're never going to be. It would have been worth it to pay because it's never coming back. So. In this age of Corona, but yeah, so you now you can see it for free or for whatever it costs to get Disney Plus.
Now you can see it. I like people who are like, it's not true to the original script. That's what I've seen. It's not true to real life. That didn't actually happen. It's like, oh, really? What the founding fathers weren't all black guys? Didn't realize that's not
so my kids are so innocent that they don't like that was when Hamilton was made. That was the whole point. It was controversial a few years ago, right? In these days when...
I mean, controversial according to who? I don't think...
Well, some people were upset by this several years ago. But my kids are so innocent. They are the other way around where we're watching it. And, you know, George Washington comes on for his first scene and he's black in the play. And Ruby goes, is that really George Washington? Which is like many levels.
What age? What's her education level?
Oh, well, she's in kindergarten. Well, she didn't finish kindergarten.
You're right.
As you said, famously, she
dropped out of kindergarten.
I mean, I don't know if in what stage they were gonna, in the second half of kindergarten, they teach you that people die and whatever.
At what point do they teach you who George Washington is?
I mean, she's never looked at a dollar bill because she's from a generation that doesn't use cash. So I don't know.
This is a great point.
Yeah, and then her, I mean, we talked about this a little on the Patreon, but people don't listen, so they should know that she comes out, the other big thing that blew her mind was that King George comes in. He does a big entrance, you know? This is what some of the real comic, some of the funnier stuff in Hamilton, I think, are the King George numbers, and she just was, that was her favorite, that was her hero of the movie, of the play. The white guy, because he's a king, and she's a real classic Karen in training. She's a white woman who just loves royalty. So she's like,
as we say on this podcast, all white American women love royalty.
So she was very excited. It was a king. So
now what I want to get to this, though, what did they think about the, I didn't know this was coming. I don't know get real. Who knows more? But all I know from Hamilton is that milk commercial from 25 years ago, right? I know he got shot by Aaron Burr. That's the whole thing. But I didn't know about the cheating scandal.
Well, yeah, they didn't. First of all, they didn't pick up on the whole get shot, even though it's in the song where it says, I'm a damn fool, shot him. And they've heard the song 100 times because that's why we watched it. They didn't understand that when he dies at the end, spoiler alert, when he gets shot, they were like, what? Why did he shoot him? But anyway, yes. And then. They are very – so the whole situation with the cheating, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's kind of confusing because he likes both sisters and he marries one, which really confused them. Like Ruby was so confused. They were like, what's going on? Like when he's like holding hands with the one he's not marrying.
Same over here. Yeah. The kids – Natalie specifically was like, why is he holding hands with that person? And it was a lot of questions. What is that?
Yeah, and then Yeah, the whole affair that he has, they went right over their head. They didn't even, I didn't explain it to them. It was like, they just didn't understand that whole scene happened. So we skip ahead, but then when he gets busted and he still don't really know what's going on, but then.
Wait, can we slow down here?
Yeah.
How did they not know the affair? I'm assuming everyone listening has already watched this, by the way, but how did they not know the affair happened? I mean, he's making out with a whole different person on stage. That's when the kids over here heads exploded and they were very wrong. You can't do that. That's bad.
I don't know. They don't see color. So they didn't notice that now he's making out with the black actress, not the white actress. I don't know. They just didn't notice it. No, they noticed the hand holding at one point. They were like, what's going on? I don't think it was. Oh, the cheating part. You mean? Yeah, that's. Yeah,
that's hard to miss. I will say it was 2.5 to 9 hours long, somewhere in that range. So I could see kids checking out from time to time.
Yeah, but then what really got them was towards the end when he gets busted and his wife is doing this whole number, basically like how heartbroken she is, and that's when they call. It's all a song, a song.
Oh, I thought you meant like she's like the real song and dance. Oh, wow. She's heard. Big no, deal. This
it's
whole
a
number.
Musical. They're called musical numbers. So at one point, Thompson Teddy's like, what's going on? Why is she mad at him? And I was like, he did something. I was just like, he did something to make her mad. She's like, what'd he do? And I was like, oh, it's hard to explain, but she's just really upset with him and she might never forgive him. And then we go on like 30 seconds and that like wasn't acceptable. He like takes the controller and pauses it and goes, no, really? What did what did he do to her? Why is she so upset? So then I was like, he kissed another woman. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't kiss another woman if you're married. And that like worked. And then like literally you press play and it's like this next line in the musical number is like, you brought another woman into your bed. And it's like, oh, no, just
well, like, and then about 2 minutes later, she just magically forgives him. And then they go on with their life.
Yeah. And at that point, I turned to Teddy and I was like, listen, you're a good looking kid. You're charming. This is what you do. You get people, women. I was like, this is a lesson, teachable moment. You can get people to forgive you. But if you could, especially if you could sing. So that was, yeah, it's very, I mean, it's like you want them to learn about the truth about history, right? I mean, it's not a really important
well,
part of the
story,
was
but, one slight part they glossed over, though. And that was that I Googled it after the wife's family was apparently the biggest slave owning family in the state of New York.
And they didn't know this was going to be controversial 5 years ago, but
they really did it. That's before they knew
you know what the other big thing with kids was you know, you spend all this time teaching kids like, to not fight, you know? And then I got the hero of the thing is having duels. There's duels left and right. And I'm trying to explain to them like what duels. I'm like, this is why you don't live in Jersey, because they say it's legal. Like it's a very they're like, what's gonna happen? I don't understand. They just shot him. I was like, well, it was a duel. It was like, these are the rules.
Well, and how about this? How about losing your now, granted, she is the daughter of the biggest slave owner in the state of New York, but still, how about losing your son and your husband to the exact same way of both of them not knowing the rules of a duel?
Yeah, they
just stick their gun in the air and then getting shot. It's like,
and that's why Alexander Hamilton could never be president. Let's be honest. You can't have a president who thinks that you go to a duel and you just stick your head in the air. And like, you gotta have a killer instinct.
You know, as a great man once said, shooters gotta shoot, right?
Shooters gotta shoot. If you're gonna, no, I don't condone killing, but if you're gonna enter a duel, you gotta be prepared to fire, right? I mean, that seems duel 101.
101. Yeah.
Do you think they taught that? Like, did they have a dual class back then? Because, you know, it seems
they should
like
have if they
his
did
kid
not.
Didn't seem like he was prepared. And I would have, if I was dealing with my son, if this ever comes up, would they bring back duels? Because we're going into a lawlessness that we talked about in this day. So who knows? Maybe duels will come back. And I would sit Teddy down. I'd say, you know what? Let's do a practice round. Let's just go through it.
Get out like the Nerf gun or something.
Let's get out the Nerf gun. Oh, we could do this with water guns. Yeah, let's just take 10 steps and just turn and shoot at 9. Who's going to stop you?
Do whatever you want. Just the one thing you don't do is point your gun in the air and not shoot
it. Yeah, that seems like the worst thing. And I have a question. How many times have you looked up duel history where, like, what if they do that thing in, like, which Rocky movie was it where they both get knocked out at the same time? Like,
oh, man, Rocky
3?
That's every Rocky.
Or 2.
But it might
I think it's
be
Rocky
2.
Rocky 2, yeah.
Rocky 2.
So him and Apollo. Like, how many times would you just have a duel where both guys would kill each other?
Well, I
you
would
both
think
shoot
most of them.
Yeah,
especially back
the harder
in those
shots,
days.
10 steps.
Especially back in those days where, you know, now guns go fast, bullets go fast. But back in those days, it might take 20 minutes to get from one side of the field to the other.
Yeah, I mean, you saw in Hamilton, they could pause the bullet, which also seemed confused them and have a whole song and dance number while you're. But yeah, it's, and I'm a little, you know, you always say like you don't want to live like in different time periods.
Yeah.
You think maybe you do. Well, you know, I can't squint. I can't fire a weapon. I'd be a disaster in a duel. So I was really thankful watching that.
Yeah, you don't have the ability to squeeze a trigger. Am I right?
I think I could squeeze a trigger. I just aiming's the issue. It would just be a total randomness whether I won that duel or not. I'd probably
well,
go
you'd
for
win
nine.
It against Hamilton because he'd shoot in the air.
He'd shoot in the air. Yeah, exactly.
He could get five shots off before he decided he realized he was still shooting.
Yeah, but you know what Alexander Hamilton did? We should be remiss if we didn't end it by mentioning this point. He founded the New York Post, the newspaper.
No, he didn't. Did he really?
Yes, he did. He founded the New York Post. And that's somehow they didn't really hone in on that in the play, but that's what launched my council run.
That's probably why he got shot. He published a salacious article about Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr was spotted canoodling at a certain New York City night spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Outed him for cheating on his wife, and all of a sudden he got shot.
Yeah. So anyway, everyone go see Hamilton. He's still, even though we spoiled the whole thing for you, you should check it out.
Let's get to our guest. The guy's waiting. He's a great dude. Mike Cannon. Should we zoom him in?
Zoom him in.
All right, we're back with Mike Cannon. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, bud.
Yes, thank you for doing it. I wanted to have you on specifically because I watched your video. I don't know if that was a week or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, where you did the show in the parking lot and everyone was in their cars. And then Kaplan, isn't that right outside where you live?
I go to that. Yeah, I go to that diner. I used to go to that diner all the time every weekend. My kids love it. They have like free muffins, mini muffins, like the ones you they give them to you when you're waiting for your food instead of bread. And that's that they'll look, and it's one of those diners that has like everything, like lobsters in a pot. They have like the giant menu diner, the classic diner. So
including awesome. Outdoor comedy.
Now they have outdoor comedy. So they really, it's a great,
Well, that's what's hilarious is I think that that element of their business is growing.
Yeah.
So they're putting on shows now multiple times a week with different producers.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, because I just got invited to do a show there on Friday, and it was from somebody, Jay Nogg booked me for that first one that the video came from, and this was from a completely different producer. I'm skipping out on his name, but
So it's like these are comedy clubs now.
Yeah, dude.
They also have, I was going to say, they also have like movies and everything there. Like it's a full, they've made it into an event space now, like this location you've picked, this diner spot. So.
Adapt or die, baby. Yeah, I mean, exactly. that's a smart move.
It's like becoming, these are the clubs where like the Grizzly Pair was like different bookers every night. And like, and now I got Wednesdays.
Yeah, dude, exactly. I was just going to, this feels like the makings of a new, Village Lantern.
There you go.
That's right. My first year in New York was barking at the Lantern for a year.
Same here. Yeah.
Was it?
I mean, for comedy, I did, I initially barked and then answered the phone and sat people at Broadway for like a year and a half, 2 years. And then after I got banned from there for various ridiculousness, I went down to the Lantern and kind of barked there for a little bit until I, just started getting on
shows. I'm pretty sure I'm also banned from Broadway.
I'm back now. Ever since right when I started getting TV stuff, they're like, you can come back.
Well, mine was just the guy. I made the mistake of like asking the guy twice how to. I was like, "Hey, man, I'd like to what's the audition system?" And he was like, "Oh, he put me into the whole the bringer thing,
Sure, yeah.
And then I was like, "Oh no, I don't think I'm going to do that." And then I asked him again a year ago maybe, and he was like, "You asked me about this 3 years ago. don't call here anymore." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, sorry."
That's hilarious. It's like, and we haven't changed or adapted a bit.
Yeah,
it's like, so they're pissed at you.
But yeah. So how was the parking lot thing?
It was okay. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like going back to condoms, kind of. It's like it's different.
Turns out.
It's still great. It's still great and it's fun, but like the disconnect is definitely there. You're performing to people that are in their own individual pods and cars, and they're looking through a windshield. So I would assume it feels like a fucking zoo exhibit for them, but I'm just, the saving grace was like the six people right up front, because they normalized the show a little bit. It felt like we were kind of bouncing, shit off of real people.
Yeah, they had like six people in lawn chairs, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't, I get the optics of a drive-in, and that sounds and looks cool. But Che is doing, Michael Che is doing shows in a parking lot, and everybody is socially distanced outside of their cars. They're sitting in, circled off areas where it's safe and fine. And honestly, I think that's better, but I'm sure you could probably fit more cars in.
Have you been to that one?
I have not yet. No, I haven't gone in yet.
Do you know also in Long Island City? Is that?
That is, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gone in Long Island City. That's close to me, yeah.
Well, this is kind of my question in general. So how long have you been back for in New York?
I've been here the whole time. I mean, so I was in Brooklyn for, up until March 15th. March 15th was my last set at the Comedy Cellar as part of the taping for this week at the Cellar. So I did the last show, last taping which, you know, I left it all out on the field, baby. I was like fucking Lombardi up there. I was literally diving onto the piano and just, you know, trying to give them a good time and also, you know, remember it for as long as possible.
You understood the moment.
Yeah, exactly. There were a couple comics with their like hands in their pockets kind of being like, this is weird. And it's like, what are you kidding, dude?
I mean, if you're going to go down, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Try to get canceled that night. Say something really offensive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, considering there were cameras rolling, I was certainly letting it fly.
Let's start there, though. Because my last, on March 6th, I think my last show was March 6th, because on March like 9th, I found out I had been exposed 3 days earlier to someone with coronavirus. Shit. So then we quarantined for 2 weeks and then just left.
Right.
And so mine was way early. Like most people didn't even know. That's when we were like, there's 9 cases in New York City. Meanwhile, there's like 30,000 or 100,000.
Also good for you for being responsible. Cause I know a lot of comics that would have been like, well, I wasn't really exposed, or like try to figure out a way to get like 6 more days of work out of it.
Well, I think it's different when you're married.
Yes.
Where it's like
when you have a female's reasonable input.
Yeah. Like if most comics are like, well, I give a shit. Like I'm going to give it to my roommate. Big deal. You know?
Right.
But if you give it to your wife, I mean, like it's over.
Yeah. And not to mention having a kid, that definitely influenced me, because we were in Brooklyn and, you know, it was fine, but we lived in a sizable 2-bedroom. But even that, man, you know, with lack of air and just not being able to be outside, and the fucking Bloods were like on my front stoop still playing dice and like smoking weeds and smoking weeds and, you know, selling whatever the hell they sell. And, you know, it was like, it just became too overwhelming. So we were like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. We came to Rockland County, which is right outside of the city and also the second biggest coronavirus area in New York.
Wasn't that the original spot?
Rockland County? It typically, and I don't want to come off anti-Semitic here.
Yeah,
it's
I'm a Jew. I can say it.
It's the Hasidic community that that is like the most saturated area of infection.
A lot of funerals, huh, Kaplan?
A lot of funerals. Have you gone to any? You need air. Have you gone to any Hasidic funerals? Are you there?
just to celebrate. No, I'm kidding.
At some point, de Blasio, didn't he ban funerals? He banned like Jewish funerals.
Well, he banned all funerals, but he made
a really ill-advised tweet where he was like, listen up, Jews. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the phrasing was bad. He didn't have to say that. Yeah, yeah.
He could have specified, been like, hey, to my, you know, Orthodox Hasidic community that feels so strongly they still must congregate, please, for the love of God.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Don't.
So the last night of the Cellar, by the 15th, like kind of, people knew what was going on, right? Like
we knew the next day. Liz Furiati is the manager over there, and she runs, you know, pretty much the whole day-to-day show, you know, as a point person. And she, you know, she was telling us, this is it. You know, we can only seat 80 in the Village Underground, which seats I think a little over 200, but they were being safe. And, you know, everybody had their own microphone. Everybody had this weird little condom that they put over the microphone. You know, we were still sitting next to each other because it's early. You know, we didn't know what the fuck was really going on. We were just like, this is crazy. I can't believe businesses are going to shut down for 2 weeks tops. You know,
I know. I remember like, no, what am I going to do till mid-April?
Yeah.
This is going to be a disaster. I was having like writing sessions with a couple other comics. Mm-hmm. For a couple, like I want to say like 10 days, being like, all right, well, we got to like keep material. I need someone to bounce this off of until we come back in a few weeks. Cause I can't, I'm used to getting on stage every night and now I can't. So, and then after like 2 weeks of that, we're like, all right, this is not.
Right. Yeah. I think I put out a video every day for like 9 or 10 days. And I was like, I got to space this out.
Yes.
I was like, I am just full sprinting a marathon for some reason.
So was the audience must have been on fire, knowing that like the danger element when you're in a room, I feel like it adds to comedy.
I think so. I mean, it depended. It was completely dependent on the energy the comedian brought, because like I said, there were a few, you know, fucking deer in headlights comedians, hands in their pockets, who they were scared and they transferred that energy to the audience. So the audience was like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is kind of our last night and this is a bummer. And then, you know, myself and a couple other comics, you know, just pretty much decided like, all right, you know, we got to go out with having some fun. If we're here, if we're getting coronavirus, we might as well fucking laugh.
Yeah, don't go if you're freaked out to be on stage. So, I'm now remembering it was, I think like March 10th, I was, It must have been March 9th because the night before I found out I'd been exposed, I was supposed to go out and do a spot and I walked down the street, but it was cold and I was totally fine in my apartment. And then remember there was like a few weeks where everyone was just convinced we all had it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like the first few weeks of it, like you'd be like, oh, my throat's all of a sudden sore. I must have coronavirus.
Right.
And so I was walking to the subway and I sneezed once and like three people looked at me and I just turned around and walked out.
I remember that same week because I remember I coughed when I was sitting next to somebody and she goes, you cough. She just turns to me and goes, you coughed. Like, I coughed.
Sorry. I was in the subway platform in Brooklyn and I sneezed and these people looked at me and I just called my wife. I'm like, I'm coming home. Yeah. Like, it was shame, the shame. Involved.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also just like when allergies are ramping up and all that shit. So, you know, it led to some dicey moments though, even in the showroom, because I remember, you know, people were coughing and sneezing like leading up to that in early March. And it's like, you guys got to be fucking kidding, you know? And it's like, you got to know what we're doing here and what everybody is afraid of. And, you know, this is probably the most nationalistic moment I've ever had. And it's, you know, whatever. But there was at East 4th Street, New York Comedy Club, you know, this Chinese kid started sneezing and coughing. And I just looked at him and I'm like, you got to be kidding. I was like, I'm not being a dick, but you got to be kidding. Yeah. I can't walk the same way I can't walk around with an AR-15 poking out of the top of my shirt, you know, because people are, you know, justifiably scared I might do something. You can't be fucking hacking it up.
Well, that's what's so funny now is like so much stuff has happened in 3 months that going, it almost feels like blaming the virus on like doing a joke about Chinese people having coronavirus. So it's like so dated.
So dated. It's so dated.
I saw a clip of that.
Now it's the Italians.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the whole reason. That's what Cuomo said. He was facing China, thinking we were getting it from them.
Yeah.
And then it came from Europe, and that's why he wasn't ready for it.
That's so true. My son brought it up yesterday. He said something about, is it still really bad in Italy? Because I said it wasn't bad in China anymore. And I totally had forgotten that Italy was the place, too. Like, that's like...
Dude,
3 months ago now, we're way past that.
What a sad and ominous time in Twitter when Italy was like, we are all dying out of their windows to each other. It's like,
yeah, they're playing tennis off rooftops and they're singing every night.
And the best we could do was bang pots and pans.
Yeah. Hey,
they were composing like orchettos.
Dude, that's like, how you can tell how white Harlem has gotten is there's just no rhythmic beating of pots and pans. It's just a bunch of gentrifiers slapping metal together.
Yeah, and you just see those pots and they've never been to use those pots and pans. They're just this is the first time.
So the outdoor show. So what are the options for shows? Or like, what have you done so far in New York?
So I just did that show. That was the only one I was supposed to do. Oh, shit. I forgot I'm doing two shows tomorrow. I was supposed to do the drive-in show Friday, but it rained. So that got canceled. And then tomorrow I'm doing two shows in Central Park for Stand Up New York. So they do shows out there, which I guess is like microphone-less, I assume, because of they are permit-less. But
Stand Up New York, who knows?
Yeah. That sounds more fun to me than, you know, performing to cars.
Yeah, I would do that. I might come out to that when I come back. Just check it out. Where do you guys, like, where even is it? Do you know?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the Upper West, I assume. But then this weekend, I'm on the fucking road for the first time since March. So I'm doing Comics Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
Okay.
That's inside?
That's inside, baby. Yeah.
Wow.
And what's the deal with that? What are they...
I mean, apparently it's like 25% capacity. They're taking everybody's temperature, making everybody wear masks, you know, following every CDC rule possible, you know, and I don't know, man.
I know.
I don't fucking know.
Shouldn't they? I have an idea. Shouldn't they take anybody with antibodies should show the test and you stick them in the front row because it's like you're protecting the performers. They can laugh then freely. You don't have to worry about them spitting, whatever. They're, you know, they're antibodies.
I think, I mean, I'm going to get tested after, like, you know, it's like at this point I'm pot committed. I'm going. I told, you know, my agent set it up. I'm going. It's happening. I am one of those assholes that thought I may have had it in January. You know, I had a fever and a sore body. We didn't really know what it was. You know, I just assumed it was a passing 3-day flu or whatever. Then I kind of got over it. But, you know, I also heard antibodies don't last forever. I mean, so no, it's like, what the fuck's going on?
No one knows anything. But we did have a guy on a couple weeks ago who had the exact same story as you, got that he was sick in early February.
Yeah.
Got tested and he does have the antibodies. So
yeah, he's been donating the plasma.
He had coronavirus in early February in New York City.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Off the books, you know?
Yeah, so he's donating plasma. Do you get money for that?
He says you can, but he hasn't been taking money. Apparently he's just wants to be a good person, but
dude,
he's not a comic.
Ring,
so.
I would wring every cent out of that possible.
Yeah.
And I think you have to report it on your Department of Labor unemployment forms.
But. I'm certain you do.
Days worked. It's two days worked.
Yeah. That's the only bad thing. I'm going to miss out on a week of unemployment because I'm fucking working.
So I know it's like so funny because every club's like that. That's coming back. They're like, yeah, well, we're doing what the CDC says, but also like in the end, we're trusting comedy club owners,
right?
You know,
yeah. So the frightening part is that it's in a casino, and the most reassuring part is that it's in a casino because I think they're going to be under like real watchful eyes that they have to really follow shit or else they can get shut down. And it's, you know, millions and millions of dollars of a swing. So I think with that at stake, hopefully they'll keep to the playbook a little bit, you know?
And it's just like hard to know what to do.
Right. And if they don't, if I feel unsafe, I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, well, I'm here. I got to be here forever. I'll just be like, all right, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
You know, so like, what the fuck?
Just have Sagalo headline or something.
That's right. He is opening for me. So thank God he's coming. Dude, I think they were trying to give me a local guy. And I was like, you know, no offense to the local scene, but I'm not going and quarantining in a room and then coming out for an hour a day without a friend. Like I will kill myself if you do that to me.
Yeah, and also somebody that you can be around. If you have to be in the green room with him, I don't really know how that works, but...
Yeah, exactly. I'm also bringing the homeless pimp. So he's the one that shot and edited the video for at the drive-in. Now we're going to document this as well. I just think this is so weird, man, that it's worth capturing. And if there's something to it, you know, just keep churning shit out and keeping people filled in.
Yeah, cool. It feels like outdoors the way to go. I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
I have a Friday night show that we've just been doing on Zoom. I mean, I've been doing it for a few like years in Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
We just transferred it to Zoom, like a bar show, you know?
Right.
And it's been going well, but I want to take it back. Like when I get back to New York next week, do it outside or figure out something that we can do. You know, maybe we're next to Prospect Park in Park Slope. So maybe do it there. I don't really know.
That would be cool. I mean, what is the permit situation for something like that? Or do you have to clear it with the city?
But I've been like complaining to my local councilman so much about unemployment that I kind of know him now. So I might just be like, yo, give me a permit.
Hey, Ted, give me a fucking permit.
Yeah.
I've been on the phone with them in their office like five times. So
that's so funny.
Maybe I'll try to get one. Or if you just do it without a mic, maybe they can't stop you from just standing up in a
just
park,
set right? off fireworks during the show and they won't stop
then
you.
It'll
that's
be
the
fine.
Way to get it. Yes.
Yeah, as long as you're saying I'm also waging terror on on any protesters, then they'll allow it.
Yeah, there you go. There's your loophole. So
go ahead, Cap.
No, so you've been coming back to New York. You came back for that show, but you're still living out in Rockland, not in Brooklyn, right?
Right. Yeah. So we actually broke our lease. So we got out of our lease because we were going to move like right as this was happening. We were looking to break our lease. We were going to move to Jackson Heights. We found a place, all that stuff. And we put in a contract, already told our fucking landlord that we were done, you know, all this stuff. It turns out some other family like put in a contract or a bid like 20 minutes before we did. So we ended up not getting it, which kind of was a blessing in disguise because that would have been, you know, to move is not inexpensive. That would have been like a $10,000 relocation considering, you know, rent, breaking lease, moving, all that shit, right? So without work, it's nice that we didn't have to foot that bill. And we're lucky enough where my wife's mother still lives in Rockland County where we grew up and she has plenty of space. So we came out here and the baby, you know, I have a 1-year-old son or he's going to be one and they have a pool, they have a yard, you know, he's able to go outside and he's been fucking flourishing in this so much so that it's going to make it tough to like lock him back up in the city.
Yeah. And you don't have to go to any of these weekend like gymnastics places. All stuff.
Right.
I have 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, but I remember every weekend I felt the stress to get the, when they're that age, you're walking, you got to get them moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a house. You can just let them go.
It's the best. And hey, you know, he loves the pool. It's stretched out. It's real nice. I still would like to live in Jackson Heights. I think I am a little perturbed at the city's, you know, initial handling of all of this stuff, but you know, who knows?
So is the plan just to stay there until you guys figure out somewhere to live?
Yeah. So I think my wife owns her own business. She owns a floral design company that specializes in like weddings and big events. So her business also relies on fucking people congregating together. Didn't see a pandemic coming. So, you know, it's like we're trying to weather this as best as we can. And obviously, you know, unemployment and stuff helps. And now I'm starting to work sporadically, but you know, it's kind of playing it by ear.
My wife was doing sales for an events company.
Yeah. You guys
events company. And just immediately 99% of the people got laid off.
In the future, when you marry, one person's got to be in a pandemic friendly job.
Yeah.
One person at Amazon for every company.
One person at Zoom or Amazon. Yeah.
So is the idea, this might be because I'm trying to figure out I have dates coming up and I'm like, I already think I'm going to say no. I'm supposed to go feature for Godfrey in Buffalo.
Right.
But it's like, you know, feature money. I think I'm just going to, and I know the guy who runs it. I'm just going to be like, hey man, like rebook me in Jan, like after a, I'm not going to go up there to like break even. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. Are they doing it outdoors or is that a,
no, it's just like game on.
Really? Oh yikes. Buffalo. Yeah.
And then I think they might do some type of distancing, but like who knows till you actually get there.
Sure.
And also with Connecticut, you can just drive back. Right.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly.
You know, I'd 7 hours. And I don't have a car, what I was gonna do is I have all these miles, so I was gonna fly. That's what I've done before. When I go to Buffalo, I take like a half hour flight and I'm there. But now it's like no fucking way. I'm flying.
Yeah.
So, but for the other stuff, I think is the idea to just get tested right after.
I think so. I mean, I don't know if that's
the move.
Is that the move to do it right away, or do you let it set in for 3 days? Yeah, I feel I got to let it get its hooks in me if in fact I do have it. So, you know, and obviously all that shit, it might not get you for 2 weeks or whatever. I have a buddy in Vegas who caught coronavirus and kind of shook it over a week. And this was 2.5 months ago and he still has symptoms. So he tests negative, but like wakes up with wild test, you know, chest tightness. And he has has scarring in his esophagus from like all it's just,
that's
fucking,
what scares me. I know it's like, you might not die, but you could like not be able to talk for, I don't know.
You get fucked up, man.
So what about, let's talk about the album. I mean the special you shot. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
What a really cool move. First of all,
thank you, man. I appreciate
it's
it.
It's awesome. Was that true at the beginning? So just for, I think we're going to set this up earlier, so we don't have to talk about what it is. I mean, we don't have to set it up too much.
Okay.
But Colin Quinn?
Yeah. So I was there. I was just having dinner with Chris DiStefano and his daughter. And I wasn't one of those comics that kind of hangs out at the Cellar all the time. You know, there's a bunch of people that don't work there that kind of fucking, you know, stake the place out and it's kind of weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was one of those stand-ups, or I was one of those guys that just like, you know, I'd pop my head in here and there, but I wanted to work to get there. You know, I needed to get better at stand-up. So I was out doing spots instead of just like, you know, showing face and shit. But I happened to be there having dinner with Chris and Colin Quinn unfortunately had unfortunately and fortunately at the same time, had a heart attack. Oh, and Liz, the manager, just kind of looked at me. She had seen me do comedy once or twice. And she was like, hey, do you want to do 30? Like, you know, we'll split the time with you and Chris. Colin can't make it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. This is what makes it weird, though. That Friday, so that was Tuesday. That past Friday, I was headlining Governor's or McGuire's, one of those in Long Island, and I had a panic attack as I was going on stage. So I had the full, like, you know, almost like press on your chest. I couldn't breathe very well. I had tunnel vision, and I just Irished my way through an hour. Like, I was like, all right, just do it. You know the act, just get there. And like, I just powered through 55 minutes of material, and it went fine. But
while
then
you're
I was
having
like,
a panic attack?
While I was having a panic attack, dude.
Oh.
Have you ever had one before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's okay. It's kind of a thing with me.
Okay.
Hey, you might want to go to the doctor.
Kaplan's had a heart attack.
I've actually had a heart attack. So I was like, when you're saying the panic attack thing, I didn't know where this was going. Because I thought I had a panic attack a few days before the heart attack. Same kind
of
experience.
Kidding.
But then, no, it was actually a heart attack. So
So who knows? It might have been a heart attack. I never got to
see the doctor.
It'd be amazing if you had a heart attack and just powered through it.
Honestly, that was
a
while ago.
Apparently, I'm a pussy. I didn't power through it.
It was definitely a panic attack, though, because I was dealing with a ton of stress. I was also drinking a lot at the time. So, like, I had all that post-booze anxiety. It was just, like, a perfect storm of shit. And I promise, from that moment, I was like, all right, I'm not going to do stand-up for, like, a week. I, like, canceled my shows for that week specifically to take some time off and try to get my shit together. And then that, too, Tuesday, I got the biggest opportunity of my life. And I was like, all right. I almost said no, but I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. It turned out that I only had to do 20 minutes because Rich Voss jumped on the show as well. So Chris and Rich both are seasoned veterans at the Comedy Cellar. They feel no pressure. They could do whatever they want, especially in the Fat Black. And they were just running new bits. And I don't know if that was as a favor to me or if that was just something they felt like doing, because when I went up, obviously I'm throwing fucking everything I have. I'm swinging for the fences, you know, every fastball, every A joke I have. And I did great. I had a really good set, and that set got sent to Esty. And then a month and a half, I waited, or 2 months even, for an audition. And then I got an audition and passed.
That's awesome. Did you know that set was getting passed as it was getting passed? Or were you just like, hey, that was one fun set, now back to...
Well, I mean, I just knew that I did well, and I was like, well, that couldn't have hurt. You know, yeah. I was like, Liz was there, and her and I got along at that point. I have never asked for favors. I never asked to audition. I didn't position myself to do anything. I was like, it'll happen when it happens. And, you know, I don't know if that was good. I think it was good, but it's also, it helps to push a little bit and get yourself in position when you feel ready. But I was always so reluctant with that place because it meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And right when I got off, she was like, I'm sending that set to Esty. And I was okay. And she was like, yeah, it was a great set. Good job. And, you know, it took a while for Esty to get back to me, but with Liz's help and a bunch of comics also recommended me, it got in front of her.
That helps too. I know what you mean, though. I have friends who visit New York like a couple times a year and have been to the Comedy Cellar way more times than I have. Yeah. I walk by it every day and it's the same thing. I'm like, I'll go in if someone's in town and visiting and like, mm-hmm. yeah, sure, I'll take you in. But I don't know why. Maybe the same thing. I feel like I should stay away until, I don't know, whatever time it is, or who knows.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that was right. I just knew I wasn't good enough leading up to when I got my opportunity. Like, you know, I got my opportunity when I should have gotten my opportunity, because that's when I felt most comfortable on stage. It's when I felt, you know, just ready to do what I had to do to get in there, you know, both on the spot, you know, sets. That's a high pressure situation to get thrown up, you know, when Colin has a heart attack, and then also to do fucking 5 minutes on a Friday in front of Esty. That's probably the most nervous I've ever been in stand up. So
that's the second set?
That was the second set.
The audition set or whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it was at 10:10, maybe nine, maybe it was even early. Yeah, I think it was 10:10. Hot Friday night show. You know, I think I followed Kevin Brennan, who's a great comic, but you know, it's just one of those situations where it's like, all right, sink or swim. Let's see how it goes. You've been working for this.
And 5 minutes is harder than 15 minutes by a lot.
By a lot. I'm not good at short sets. I'm a fucking bloviating ass. You know, I just can't cut the fat out of my thoughts. So
I was, when I first got into, to New York, New York Comedy Club, she was putting me up at check spots, and I was bombing so hard. And I honestly think that's why she moved me to guest spots, like to 10 minute guest spots. Cause I would do well. For some reason, late night, I was fine, but like check spots, just terrible.
Yeah.
And I would come off and I'd be like, sorry, I don't know, Amy, I'm sorry. I can't do this. Well, and then I just started getting like, then all of a sudden it was like 10 minute guest spots.
Check spots are almost like combat. Like it's not, it is comedy for sure, but it's like, it's one-on-one. Like you almost have to fist fight your way into their attention span, you know? So it's a completely different muscle. It's a different energy than I like to go up on stage with. And I started at checks at Broadway Comedy Club. And that's, I mean, that is a full fucking fist fight, man. You know, you got like 200 people, I think 70 of which are separated by like a linoleum fucking moat and a giant girder. And it's like, and then straight ahead are everybody where English is their 17th language. And you're like, you know, you're just up there trying to get your thoughts across.
Yeah. And a lot of them, it's their first, like, cause it's near Times Square. So it's a lot, their first comedy show ever.
Yeah.
Right. So even like the etiquette, like at least in New York, it's comedy. It's a lot of like comedy fans who they kind of know like, oh, okay. I mean, it's still difficult to do, but
totally.
So with the, you did a first, your first one was an album, right?
Yes. Yeah. Full audio. Yeah.
Full audio.
We filmed it, but like, yeah. I didn't release it as a piece until actually recently, but I cut them into like clips and stuff like that.
That's okay. I did the same thing. My first, and then I haven't done any, that's all I've done. That came out late last year.
Yeah.
But, then the second one you did video, mm-hmm. and what's your review of one versus the other?
I mean, like, I think so. Audio, I think I did that at the right time for who knew about me. And I mean, even still, you know, I am on Sirius a lot. So I do Jim Norton and Sam Roberts a lot. And a lot of those listeners were only familiar with me through that show and through my podcast. So I, at that point, I'm just like a podcast comedian to them. I had no record of my stand-up because the only TV set I did was like Access. You know, I haven't, Comedy Central has never booked me for a TV spot. I got booked for a late night, but that weirdly got ghosted and completely went away. You know, so I have not had a lot of opportunity to perform on television. So I was like, you know what? I got to just at least get something down because I can't wait for these fucking opportunities. So I did the Hour album with 800 Pound Gorilla, and they were really great at like kind of locating people who might be interested in my kind of comedy. And, you know, because of that, I've gotten a ton of spins on Pandora, and you know, it did really well. And then for the visual, you know, I did the audio first, and you can't just stay stagnant and release the same type of shit every single time. So you got to grow and you got to give people a different look. So I knew I wanted to do a visual special. I also knew I wanted to make it a little bit different because I still have delusions of grandeur that some network is going to, you know, back my next hour and put out an hour proper and, you know, really, really verify me as an artist.
Which is so unnecessary now.
Of course. But, yeah. You know, so I put out like 31, 32 minutes of stand-up comedy on this special with interstitials from my favorite comedians of all time telling the story of how I got into The Cellar, which was Colin Quinn, Jim Norton, Bobby Kelly, Keith Robinson and Rich Voss. I basically had a tough crowd reunion on my fucking special, and they're five of my favorite comedians ever. And I got them to straight to camera just absolutely trash me, which is, you know, in between stand-up jokes. I think that's the best.
It's great. Yeah. And it is, you're right. I mean, the idea of moving it, always doing something a little more. Yeah. And you release it as an audio also, right? Or no?
I did. So I was hoping, you know, and I think it did push people towards the full hour because the stand up on the special was only 32 minutes. I think I had like 59 or something like that on the album. So I had 27, 28 new minute, you know, a half hour of extra material that people have never heard on the record. So I was hoping that the special would act as almost like a business card. And then I would start rolling out the individual clips that would also act as like, you know, bring attention to both the audio and the visual. And it's like, it's all just a constant onslaught of fucking content. And it's, you know, nauseating to have to think that we are now marketers, but
I mean,
you got to position yourself, you know,
but if you're writing new material all the time, like it's better than I know people, I want to say 10 years older than us, maybe 15.
Sure.
Who are spend 10 years waiting for someone to give them, they have the material, they have like the hour, and they're waiting for someone to give them a special, or like, I don't want to be on Amazon, I want to be on Netflix or whatever it might be, and waiting. And I tend to go think the other route, which is when it's ready, just do it. And that's why I want to talk to you. That's why I loved what you did.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I also don't know if there's a market for any network to pick me up at the moment. So what I was hoping for is that this would create the market, is that this would show people that, you know, I'm a really strong stand-up. I'm also a pretty decent writer in terms of full projects, because the whole thing, you know, it's like, it plays like a movie almost. It's ridiculous. And I wrote the opening sketch, the whole story. I got the ideas for the interstitials. I helped with the editing process. Like, I was hands-on the entire thing. So I wanted to show that I could also produce, like, you know, some really high quality shit as well.
Yeah, it's great. And the other thing is, everyone is now like, didn't Hannibal just release straight to YouTube?
Yeah, he did.
Like,
yeah,
everyone's just taking their hour, skipping everybody and be like, here's you, yeah, just putting it on YouTube, you know?
I mean, you know, people understand, man. You know, somebody like Hannibal, I'm sure he can make a lot of money from the ad money, and also he's going to make you know, make it all back on touring, and people are going to rediscover him, and people that, you know, whatever. It's just an easy access to his material. So I only think it's going to help him.
Yeah, but yes. And also, like, to everyone, it's the same. If yours, right. As long as it looks good, which yours looks awesome, then yours looks awesome on YouTube. Someone who could, who should, whatever, might have done the last one on Netflix and now is doing it on YouTube. It looks like the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
So, like,
because at that point, he probably has a relationship with the same production company. So he's basically doing a Netflix special for YouTube. It's the same exact shit. He did it at a theater, I think. Like, it looks unreal.
Is it? Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. Well, I just heard about it. So cool, man. How do people watch your special, and how do they get your album?
So it's youtube.com/Mike Cannon Comedy. The special is called Life Begins. If you also search Mike Cannon Life Begins, that'll come up. On social media, I'm at I Am Mike Cannon, and there I have that link tree thing. There's links to both the visual special as well as the full hour audio streaming as well.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for doing it, man.
Hey, one quick, who's going to have the first special in a parking lot? That's what I want to know over here. Who's going to be the brave comic who does that?
They're doing that. Comedy Dynamics is doing that.
Are they?
Yeah, they're fucking filming like four specials or something like that outside.
And I didn't get a call. These sons of bitches.
There's Turner. Come on.
Comedy Dynamics put out my album, these bastards.
I think Bert Kreischer is also doing a tour, so he's probably filming and going to release some shit for that too, I would assume.
Somebody's got to get the. It's like a race to do all the Corona jokes.
Yeah, I know.
Who's going to be the voice? Who's going
to? So then you can say everyone stole your material.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for doing it, man. I will see you back in New York City.
Yes, sir. Thanks, thank you both for having me.
Of course. All right, Cap.
Let's get to the news.
All right, play the music. Back, Mike Cannon, everybody. What a dude.
That was great. He's I love anybody who's supporting the Queen's economy, like he is making it happen.
Queen's New York, not the Queen of England, whatever, right?
No,
anti those people. Actually,
she loves outdoor comedy. I heard she's a big fan.
Buckingham Palace. I bet they're doing social distance stand-up comedy shows right now, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the news, Kaplan. First news story of the week comes from today.com. What a website name.
I think it's like Today Show. The Today Show.
I've been like, these people nailed it.
Somebody back in like the early internet days copyrighted that is bought today. They're like, today.com, I'll take that.
What a genius. Yeah. I knew a guy, Randy Hedges. We knew him as Wispy Mustache back in China, and he had a lot of issues. But he was like a 60-year-old English teacher, and his website, I mean, his email address was randyteacher@yahoo.com.
Oh, genius.
And I was like, that guy got it early. He got an early website. First news story comes from today.com. University of Alabama students hold COVID-19 parties with prize for first person to get coronavirus. How about that?
That's you know, these kids today. They're
Harvard of the South, they call it down there.
Harvard of the South. Well, they're all trying to get it now because they want to. They're probably going to be back on campus. Like, they're actually going to have college probably in the fall because it's Alabama. So they want to get it now, get it out of the way, and get back to life. No.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not a bad idea. Yeah, these Harvards, those dirtbags, they're not. Harvard's canceled all classes, but making everyone pay full price. They're essentially sitting on Zoom and then have to pay $60,000 a year, whatever.
Yeah,
it might
why be. Can't you just let anybody into college? Like, why is there an acceptance rate if you think about it? Once you get to the online stage, just like open it up.
Especially if you're still allowed to charge $60,000, whatever, however much it goes. Wasn't Columbia's $80,000 a year now to go?
Yeah, but you're paying for the name. It's just so you can put in the resume. So that's what you get. You get the Harvard Zoom name. But
Harvard at this point, it's like go to junior college for a semester, for a year, you know, and then transfer into wherever. If I'm going to Harvard and I'm paying $80,000, I need to put it needs to be in my contract that I get into the Skull and Bones Zoom parties. I need to be
Skull and Bones Zoom version
in the secret society. Yes, I need at least a cabinet position when I get out of college. That's what I need. But I don't know, down in Alabama. Listen, I mean, whatever. Do what you want. It's obviously
those measle parties they used to do when, like, this is basically very primitive. Didn't they used to do that, like, in our parents' generation, where you just, like, I don't know, or they still do that? People just have measle parties who don't believe in vaccines, where they just, like, throw everyone together and.
Probably. I mean, here's the thing. What's the difference between this these Alabama students sitting having a party where they all get corona and what the NBA is about to do in Orlando? To me, it feels like the exact same thing.
I don't think so, because they're trying. The NBA players, the NBA is trying not to get it.
Yeah, now, but how hard are they trying? These guys are all rubbing up against each other for 48
minutes.
Yeah,
but they're bubbled off. This is the other way around. This is like, we are going to you're saying, like, the first one, like, I wonder what the prize is. Actually, that's the thing. This is his prize. What do you think is a good prize? Like a ventilator?
Kaplan, let me put this a different way. You know how they always say that the Republicans and the Democrats, the main difference is that the Democrats screw you and the Republicans screw you, but they tell you they're going to screw you, right?
That's the
only difference between these students and the NBA is that these kids tell you they're trying to get corona, and the NBA tells you they're trying to play basketball for the entertainment. Well, meanwhile, they're just trying to make a bunch of money.
But you know what? You know who's the big winner is? If you go to a party, like, you know, every time you have a theme party, you got to think ahead. If you're a guy who has trouble hooking up, this is the best party. You go to a party, you go up to a girl.
Well, definitely no one's wearing condoms, right?
Right, but no, you just go, she's hesitant about making out with you, and you say, look, you want to be the first person to get COVID? I got COVID.
True.
I'm not going to tell anybody. I already have it. I have it now.
Win the trophy.
Then you win. She makes out with you. Even if you don't have it, what are you? You're going to get me too'd for that? Like, that's she's already at fault. There's no, you can't get a problem for lying. It's like, wasn't that like lying about job or anything? It's the same. It's a new generation's, you know, a line about a bank account.
I'm just excited that now we get to blame stuff, like blame the younger generation. The millennials are now like, we're out. The millennials are they're no longer the scapegoats for everything. It's now
they're no
the
longer
Zoomers.
The punching bags anymore. It's the Zoomers. They're exactly. The real problems. There's been videos. I don't know. Did you see that video of like Fire Island that went around? That's the thing. Like, people look down on like Alabama, but we should be.
Oh, all the gay guys on Fire Island.
All these gay Zoomers are like partying. I mean, I think they were young gay guys. So that's what I'm calling them, Zoomers.
Maybe. The gay Zoomers are out there.
And they're
man.
All on Fire Island, like at a party. Like,
there are problems.
No masks. Everyone's super close to each other. Yeah.
Not so only that, but there's guys posting. There's these gay Zoomers posting that they're bragging that they have coronavirus.
They went to a gay Zoomer themed party, like a COVID-19 themed party. The same
this
thing.
One guy's posting. He goes, "I got rid of it. I got it a week ago, but I'm feeling better today. So now I'm at this party." And then like an hour later, he's posting like, oh no, corona's coming back. But he's still at the party. He's dancing around.
Oh my God. It's gay Zoomers.
Next story. WFMZ Allentown.
Say it properly. WFMZ.
WFMZ. Machete wielding man charged after threatening neighbors to stop fireworks, the police say. Now, this man's a hero. What do you think?
I was trying to figure out this whole time what to do, right? And to get it to make it stop. And I never thought of a machete
to make the fireworks stop. Yes.
To make the fireworks stop. I go down because it's like everyone's like nobody wants to actually go down in New York City and confront anybody because it's like that doesn't seem like a good idea. Right.
Not currently.
But if I had a machete, it'd be a good idea. I'd probably demand some respect. No,
there's a lot of good ideas if you have a machete. Yeah.
So that's a great. I mean, that's a great way to solve it because it's a problem going on all over the place now. I don't know about you, but we're recording this the day after 4th of July or 2 days after. I had a great night of sleep last night. There was no fireworks. It was like,
oh, really?
It was as if, I don't want to get carried away because fireworks are already going on again tonight here, Monday night. But it was as if like someone's been on a, you know, when you go on like a real party bender, like you've been just partying every night. And then like 4th of July was like, it was like if you lead up to like you're at spring break and that's the last night of spring break. And you're like, I'm going out all night. Kids that were going insane.
Yes.
Like they were at 6 a.m. still. Like, I think it's still light out now. Like they're lighting up fireworks at 6 a.m. It was unreal what went on 4th of July. But the good news is they wore themselves out. I think you get everyone's got to sleep. Everyone needs to rest. Right.
At some point. Yeah.
So the firework guys did take off last night. It was I had a great night's sleep. Pancakes was having the shakes because she didn't have any of her doggy Valium last night. I think she was sure. Like, where's my Valium? So, so I didn't need the machete. But I should. Where can I get a machete?
Well, Cap, I don't know, but here's the thing. You know what's interesting is you say that fireworks have finally died down in New York City. I just saw our good friend Larry the Cable Guy posted. He's now complaining about hearing them in Nebraska.
This is the new COVID. It really is.
It's moving from the big cities to the smaller towns.
Wait, do you think like it'll be the same thing where New York in August I'll be sleeping all night, and then in like all those places that laughed at us are going to be blowing up?
I think so. Yeah, because he said, he goes, 4th of July, fine. 5th of July, whatever. You got a couple left. He goes, by the 6th of July through August 1st, now you need to go to jail or something like that. I don't know what he said.
Yeah.
But he's on your side. He's joining the party. And I think,
Did you watch the TV fireworks, the real ones?
Just to finish, I think you and him would make a great ticket.
That's the ticket for the people. Kaplan, that's a national ticket.
Kaplan and Larry the Cable Guy for the new. Then let's go national with this party. Who cares about city council?
We could be the new Kanye West. We get to the presidential race.
Larry the Cable Guy's putting his hat in the ring.
Yeah, but how's the fireworks down there in Virginia? Is it
not a whisper of them? We had great ones on 4th of July, but none before, none after. And now I'm making my way back. Last story of the week. Let's get to this, Cap. Bloomberg, our good friend, old Mike Bloomberg and his company, says...
good old Bloomberg.
China confirms case of bubonic plague in Inner Mongolia. Now, here's what I think. First of all, there's a lot of things here. First of all, that bubonic plague is probably a little bit, you know, that's been around for what? I think it's also called the
Black Plague. 13th century, I
believe. Yeah, since, you know, long, but the Knights of the Round Table and the Square Table, any kind of table, any way back tables.
It's been around. I mean, you know, it's been so, Jews were being blamed for that like 600, 700
blamed
years ago.
Blamed for that. And it's, so what I think.
People forgot about.
People forget how many things they blamed them for. And so anyway, I think that the bubonic plague, much like, you know, Michael Jordan, he decided that LeBron James, he was getting all this. Oh, maybe LeBron's the best player in the world.
Yeah. What's coronavirus, who's the best player? Is LeBron.
It's debate. It's least debatable. That's what people were saying. And Jordan said, it is not debatable. I'm going to release The Last Dance. You're going to see my entire career while you're all in quarantine. He might have caused the quarantine, who knows, just so he could get everyone to watch. And then that's no longer a debate. Everyone now knows.
So you're saying the bubonic plague, The Last Dance of plagues, like it's the indisputable goat of plagues.
It came back to tell us who's boss.
Yeah, it is the plague. Like whenever you talk about plagues through history, like I keep learning about new like time periods, like in the 16th
this corona
century, Italy.
Is nothing. It's got nothing on the Black Plague on the
You read about all these. There's a lot of great ones. A lot of Oscar Robertson plagues and Connie Hawkins of plagues. But there's only one.
Daryl Dawkins.
Who's the Clyde Drexler of? Was there like a rival plague? The bubonic plague just crushed.
I have no idea. I mean, it's not. Corona's nowhere. Yeah, sure. Corona's bigger than swine flu.
Corona's like LeBron. It does. It's got a lot. It doesn't have the killer instinct that the bubonic plague had.
It doesn't have it.
It doesn't talk trash. It doesn't play. Yeah.
So the bubonic's back, and it's back in a big way, and it's ready to tell everyone who's boss. And frankly, we probably need to make use of the Great Wall again.
Right.
And why do I say that? Not to keep out China. China's doing fine. Inner Mongolia. That's where it's coming from this time. Well, why did they build the Great Wall? To keep out the Mongolians.
So they were on top of this.
They were trying to keep out Genghis Khan in the first place. So, yeah, they did this a long time ago. And I think,
this is like,
hey, China, build that thing tall. What is it, 20 feet tall now? Let's put nets up. Let's make it 100 feet. Do whatever you got to do.
Are there any people who go over that wall historically?
I've been over the wall.
I mean, climbed over it, like, to break in?
I remember, to break in. No, I remember, who's the 1980s magician guy? What was his name? Copperfield. David Copperfield.
David Copperfield.
I remember he went through it one time. It was like a TV special. He walks through the Great Wall. But no, I believe, well, here's the problem with the Great Wall, is it was over 2,000 years long, and China's very proud of this, and they always tell you on the tours, they go, ooh, it stretches for over 2,000 miles, and it took over 2,000 years to build. Like, that's... Like, and I'm going, it's a mile a year, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're Genghis Khan, you're going, well, let's just go a mile down the road. It's not done yet. You know? So you're saying you
can get around it.
You can always go around. You have 2,000 years to adjust. Yeah. Each time it's just an extra mile. So They didn't build it fast enough.
I think that President Xi or whoever, if we want to play, you just got to do the Trump thing.
Dictator Xi.
It's going to go away. It's not. It's the bubonic plague. It's been around for what?
Proof, like magic.
What does the WHO say about it? It's not that bad. Do we have any evidence you can it's contagious?
We don't know if it's contagious.
So much we don't know anything about it. And I know for a fact that masks don't help.
Yeah, by summertime, listen, the heat will kill it. It'll be gone. Maybe vodka and saunas.
I would be excited though if I joked about earlier, but if the bubonic plague picks up a little bit and they start blaming, some people find a way to blame the Jews like they blamed us for the original. That would be cool. That's like old school. Yeah, I'm sick of all this news. We're getting blamed for things that are ridiculous. So I would like to get back to the roots. So there you go.
All right. Well, that's it. That's the episode, Kep. You can check out Mike Cannon. Check out his special, Light Begins. It's great. It's free. It's on YouTube. You guys are going to love it. And check me out.
While you're on YouTube, check us out.
Check out Lost in America on YouTube. Get my album, Turner Sparks, live from the Friars Club. I haven't talked about this yet, but Unsolved Mysteries, Kep. It's number one. It's trending right now on Netflix. Go ahead and check out my bit on Unsolved Mysteries I recorded in September of last year. What was coming. How about that? I need to make that go viral.
Make it go viral.
That's it, Kep. From, let's see, what should we do?
All right, Randy Kaplan just stormed into the studio, and she's telling me I should tell everyone I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.